everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about our film review of the Packers 15-9 loss at Detroit. Kind of a stunning loss in its own way against a team that had one win coming in, but then again, it was the Packers' fifth straight loss and they're a reeling team. So, Eric, there wasn't... What's that?
You picked them to win, didn't you?
I did. I thought this would be their, if not get right game, at least a game they would win. You know, our conversation, we usually talk 45 minutes to an hour, usually closer to an hour about all this, you know, about the game and, you know, different things that we could get into. This was a, we had a shorter conversation today. It wasn't much over a half hour, I don't think. Kind of a simple one. It all came down to Aaron Rodgers, a guy who has won two-thirds of his games as the Packers starting quarterback. But he lost them this one, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, it was really funny. There was a period there with Mike McCarthy where they lost a lot of their games because they felt they didn't have a good enough defense. And, you know, the defense puts up, allows 15 points, puts up a pretty good performance, gets off the field, and, you know, three picks in the red zone are really, two of them in the end zone, are really terrible things that have happened and really unreal, uncharacteristic of this quarterback. But I think it boils down to a couple things is that he doesn't have his security blanket. He doesn't have his binky with, you know, with Adams. And the offensive line has not produced a very good solid front for him. So he's uncomfortable back there and kind of throwing off his back foot. So you throw all that together and you get what we're seeing here the last several weeks.
Yeah, there were a couple sequences or things. One is the three interceptions. So the first one, you know, I went back and watched the tape after we talked earlier. And even on the first one, they caught a bad, there was a bad break there. You know, the ball caroms off a guy's helmet, a defensive player's helmet on the line, and, you know, goes high in the air and they catch it in the end zone. But if you look close, right after Rodgers releases the ball, Lazard is reaching to his back hip to catch the ball. That pass was going to be behind him. The defensive back was right there. It was going to be knocked down for sure. I think it had a lot of zip on it, so I don't know if the guy would have intercepted it or not, but he at least would have knocked it down. I don't know if you saw that part of it. Yeah, you also thought he just threw it too low, right?
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, is there was a window there, but it closed just as he was releasing the ball. That linebacker, or I think it was a linebacker, you know, rolled into the window there, and it bounces off his grape. So that one was kind of a that one wasn't – you know, those, you're right. Those things kind of happen. But yeah, again, behind it. But I guess the one where really took the wind out of the sails was the one going to Tanyan over the cross, right by the goal line there, coming across the middle on that little seam route. And that one to me was like, wow. I mean, he was behind constantly the entire game, either throwing short or a little bit behind the receivers. They weren't laying the ball out there where the receiver can grab it cleanly and continue to run. It was just a overall bad game. And a lot of it is, in my opinion, is just poor footwork and not having the confidence in his offensive line to keep him upright.
Yeah, a lot of back foot throws. You know, the one to Tanyan, you know, he stepped into that one, but at least, you know, enough. But watching the replay again today, you know, there were, he was bracket covered. I mean, I'm not sure there was any window there really. Even if he'd thrown the ball, even if he'd led Tanyan Moore, there was another safety behind him. I think that ball gets picked off or at least knocked down either way.
I think if he gets out there, gives him the ball out there where he can extend his arm and catch it. Tanyan has got tremendous hands, and he doesn't get enough credit for his receiving ability. And for, you know, if he's on a lot of different other teams, that he's going to be one of those guys that you're hearing about a lot when they're facing the Packers or facing a team with him on it. So for some reason, and I don't know why, they don't look for him enough. But I think if they get that ball out in front of him, he catches it and they score there really fairly easily. And then, you know, you look at that other I mean, I don't know what that was, that tackle eligible play. I mean, I kind of get it. You're a team that's grasping, right? And they need to have some fun, and they need to, you know, have a kind of a gimmicky play that everybody can feel good about and come off the field and celebrate. And it's kind of a uplifting moment there, especially for that right tackle who's, or that left tackle, excuse me, who's really struggled coming back from that ACL. But, you know, that, I mean, Bakhtiari didn't even have a chance for it. That ball was so poorly thrown that there wasn't even an opportunity for him to make the play on the ball. Don't take anything away from that defensive end there that goes up there and gets that ball. That was pretty athletic play for that young man. So good for him, but still another poorly placed ball. And there were poorly placed balls throughout. Now, one of the things that I think a lot of people forget about is when Adams was there, sometimes Rodgers would throw those balls, you know, mere inches above the carpet, and Adams would go down and get them. I mean, that's designed for two things. If you throw it up in the air too high, could be tipped. Now it's a, you know, and now it's a, and those balls that are coming on those slants, they usually are fastballs. So balls get tipped, and it's an easy opportunity to get picked off. Plus, if the guy catches it and there's a safety bearing down on him, now he's going to separate his ribs from his spinal column, and that's usually bad too. So he would throw that ball low where there's no opportunity for interception. The only guy that can catch it is the wide receiver. No matter how good of a play the defensive backs make on it, that's the only guy that can get it. And you saw Sammy Watkins drop two of those, or one of them for sure, and the other one was just another third down play that hit him in the hands, and he drops it. So some of that stuff was going on. But, you know, when he doesn't have Adams, he doesn't have that guy that he can just look at and say, hey, you know, run this route, I'll get it to you. Or have Adams say, hey, I can get this guy. When they got to get a 3-yard, 4-yard, 5-yard first down, or Adams can say, I'm going to run this, and it's going to happen. He doesn't have that guy. He's got a bunch of guys that don't really are learning the game. And you got Lazard, who on a lot of teams would probably be at best a number three, kind of a your possession receiver, the guy you feel good about, but not a guy that's you have to game plan around. Then you got three young guys. One guy can't stay on the field. Dobbs is certainly getting better. And you got Toure, who finally decided he wanted to be a professional. So the frustration I get from Rodgers, but I guess on the outside looking in, I mean, like you said it best, he looks miserable, right?
You know, I think he does. I really think he looks, you know, borderline miserable a fair amount of the time.
I would really feel better about the guy if he would take his MVP hat off and put his teacher's cap on and teach these guys rather than, you know, after the play, throwing your hands up and looking, like you said, miserable. I think that was a really great term for it because, I mean, it got under his skin a little bit when you talked to him yesterday. You know, he said, well, not miserable, but frustrated. But you know what? You got a bunch of young guys. You have an opportunity to put your fingerprint on these guys and a fingerprint on this offense, and you're kind of admonishing them at any given chance rather than taking the time to teach them. Say, hey, listen, you got to do this better. You got to do that better. You got to be able to do that. And then you got a guy in Watkins who's just basically washed up. And there's not a lot of talent there. Yeah, there's not a lot of talent there. So why not hit tight end more? But the most important thing, you know, the positive thing that we saw out of it is that he made plays with his feet, which is through the years has been one of his probably, I would say his one of the things that people least give him credit for is his ability to keep drives alive with his feet. And he did that. I mean, he had it. What do you get?
I think that's the quality that separated him from the rest of the league and made him the player that he is or was, that he would make so many plays outside the pocket.
Yeah. And even that, how many of those first downs did he get, you know, it was like third and three, third and four, and he would get out and you see him reach the ball across the line to get the first down, avoided injury at all costs, which is perfect. But, you know, I think the, you know, sometimes the guy's got to just calm down, relax. But, you know, I'm not 39 years old getting pummeled by 300-pound linemen either, so it's hard to say that, I guess, but or it's easy for me to say.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, what I found most perplexing, I didn't notice it watching the game as much. It wasn't, didn't jump out to me. It was the sequence, those last four plays. I had to do some writing while that was going on. There's something I had to file right when the game ends. So all I looked up and watched each play, and then I had to go back to the writing. I didn't fully appreciate. I mean, I feel like, man, he just took end zone shots on all those, but I didn't appreciate. And I know you think it's only on a couple of throws, but I'm telling you, on all four of those throws, he threw off his back foot, and he basically just took shots. They had, when they got the ball left, they had, it was either 50 or 52 seconds. I think it was 52 seconds left when they had the ball at the 17, Detroit 17. They had a timeout. They had the middle of the field to work with. Perfect time to hit somebody underneath, maybe, you know, try to get a good catch and run to get inside the 10 where you really have a good look at the end zone then. And he just took all end zone shots. You know, what do you make of that? I mean, there was on two of the plays, at least he had on one, he had Dylan underneath, and on the other, he had Dylan and Aguara underneath. I think that was the third down. And both of them, if he'd thrown to either one of them, they would have had a shot to catch and run, maybe even to the end zone. I mean, there was some space in that, in the field there, and he still had the timeout.
Well, I think not just that sequence, but if you go earlier in the game, there were times on third down and short, he's thrown the ball downfield. Now they got lucky on one of them and came down with it. But geez, oh man, I think that's the, you know what? That's the MVP in him. He wants to be the MVP. He wants to be the star of the show. And, you know, if he throws a big, long touchdown pass, he likes it. I mean, there's no question he likes to deep ball and likes to throw those balls. But I think sometimes, you know, you got to be – the better part of valor isn't courage. It's sometimes you just got to be smart and do the right thing. And you know, who am I to judge every throw that the man makes? Because he makes some, and you know, he still does a lot of really awesome things and makes some great throws, but he wasn't on. And I think some of it was, you know, he has got to accept the blame on this one, that he had a poor performance, and he put his team in a very bad spot because of some of the judgments that he made and some of the decisions that he made with the football. Just get the first down, keep the ball moving. This is a running football team right now, today, on November 7th. 2022, it's a running football team, and that's really difficult for a gunslinger, a guy who's an MVP for four times, back-to-back MVP guys, to keep the ball in his hand and hand it off.
Yeah,
that's fully understand it, but it's got to get done. If you are a teammate, if you are a real teammate, and you really want your football team to win, you have to do what's important to get the job done, not what you is going to make you feel good.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is really hard, but I just, you know, that as you're saying that, what jumped to my mind was John Elway. You know, that offense changed drastically and became Terrell Davis oriented his last, those 2 years they won the Super Bowl there. Now they had more talent at receiver too, but they had Shannon Sharpe, a Hall of Fame tight end. But Elway didn't try to make, he wasn't making play after play for those teams. He wasn't the best player on those teams. It was Terrell Davis who was. So yeah, there is, I'm sure it's really hard for Rodgers to do this, but, and you know, he can pick and choose his spots still. I mean, like you said, he made some plays in this game where it was like, well, that's vintage Aaron Rodgers. He had three or four scramble plays where he threw darts, converted third downs. Looked like the guy who won the MVP the last 2 years, but those end zone shots that he took on those last four plays, I was just really perplexed at, you know, why he was taking those shots when he had the whole field to work with. He was just intent on making the big play and hitting the end zone when they weren't to the point where they had to do that yet.
Correct. And the other part of it too, after I watched the game, I watched it again after we talked, you know, and I watched it from a defensive coordinator's position. If I'm a D coordinator, how am I going to stop this offense, or what am I looking for? And one of the things that, you know, in the years past when he had just more recently, when he had Adams, I mean, it wouldn't be uncommon for him to get 12 to 15 targets. And you got Alan Lazard who gets 10 targets. I understand that's all you got, but does a guy deserve 10 targets? I don't think so. You got to be able to spread the ball around. You got to be able to run the offense, whether you like it or not. You got to run the offense and can't just target the same guy constantly, because a guy who is not as talented as Adams or Jordy Nelson or Cobb. You got a guy that is somewhere beyond, somewhere lower than those three players at their prime. And he's probably at his prime. This is as good as he's going to get. And to target him that many times, I mean, it doesn't, you don't even have to double team the guy. He's just not going to be very good. He doesn't have the body control that if you, even if you look at Dobbs, has better body control in the air than what Allen. And that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He just isn't the football player that some of those other guys were. And to target him 10 times is in my opinion, is ridiculous. And they need to be, he needs to spread the ball around and play the, run the offense. You know, you see the amount of motion and misdirection stuff that was happening at the beginning part of the season versus right now. He obviously has, he doesn't like to run motion. He likes to keep guys where they are, move them around slightly. Or if they're going to move a guy in motion, it's for a reason, because they want to get him the ball rather than let's see what they're doing. I mean, he's very analytical, almost too analytical. Just throw the ball where it's supposed to go. I mean, it's that simple. And, you know, I don't, it's, you know, I come back to this all the time. I get it. You know, you get a race car driver, you can't put him in a Pinto. You know, he is what he is. He's going to make, take shots. He's going to make the throws and you got to, but unfortunately at this point against the Lions, his desire to make the big play and be the star hurt his football team and kept them from winning the football game. Period. End of sentence.
You know, and I will say, I was going to say this here, I bring this up earlier, but I will say he did cop to having a bad game after the game. He said, he didn't use the word crappy, but he said,
yeah,
I played really crappy, but I didn't give up or something to that effect. So he, I mean, he acknowledged a couple of times that he had some bad, some crappy throws and that he played a crappy game. So he did cop to it. We only got a couple minutes left here. Anything about the defense jump out to you? What jumped out to me was how much they rewatching the game, especially was how much they blitzed. They blitzed Keyshawn Nixon several times off the edge. Quay Walker blitzed a bunch of times, including on a big third down on the in the run game in the fourth quarter when they get needed to get the ball back down six, and it was a third and one, and he blitzed and dropped. I think it was Jamal Williams for a 2-yard loss. What anything else jump out to you on about their defensive performance?
You know, their D-line played better than they had in the past, several weeks, which was good. You know, it's a little scary that they don't have much depth there. I think we all thought they were going to have more depth at that position. It really hasn't shown up. I guess the other part that I really liked was the play of Barnes. You know, gosh, you know, he's one of those guys. He's not super fast. He's not super strong. He's not super big. But God darn it, he's in the right spot at the right time most of the time. He takes good angles. He presses the line of scrimmage. A lot of things that Quay Walker does not do very well. And they, you know, the teams they play find Walker very early. And right away, right in the first series, you saw it right away. Detroit's game plan was going to be to run at number seven because he doesn't press the line of scrimmage. He does not make the running backs. He doesn't take gaps away from the running backs. There's way too many two-way goes. But I thought Chris Barnes was very mature. It was unfortunate that he had gotten the concussion, or at least that he is removed from the game because of it. But I really like the way he plays. I you know, not flashy, gets the job done. Would you like him to be a little quicker to cover tight ends? Yeah, probably. And to cover receivers out of the backfield? Yeah, I think that's – or running backs out of the backfield? Yeah, I think you would want that. But, you know, for with Campbell being out, I mean, I thought he was kind of a solidifying factor back there in their linebacking group at off the line of scrimmage. I thought that was pretty good. I liked it. And I think Amos is quietly having a really good season. He comes up and fills in the run. And when he fills, he comes. And he doesn't normally miss tackles like the other safety has been doing recently. So I really like Amos. You know, I think he gets kind of – I don't think he gets enough limelight that he probably deserves. But I think this season he's really having a good – putting together a good year.
One quick thing I want to ask you, if you can give a quick answer because we're running low on time here. But
what are you saying? All my answers are too long?
That's what I'm saying. You got that exactly right.
All right. I'll make it really fast.
So and it's, we really didn't discuss it much. We just only kind of brushed over it when we talked on the phone today. So this is kind of off the cuff. But Rashawn Gary, torn ACL. I mean, that's their best defensive player, second best guy on the team, maybe. I don't know. That is a humongous blow for a team that's already reeling.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to replace six sacks, and his motor was very good, is very good, you know, especially after looking at his rookie season. Determined guy, I think a guy that I think he's kind of the heart and soul of the defense. And to lose him is, like LaFleur said, is a tremendous loss. That's short enough.
Yes, it was. I saw on Twitter, I think I have the stat right, that Gary was leading the league in pressures per snap, you know, more than even the big sack guys. Now, that's not the be-all, end-all stat, but that does tell you, you know, how that this guy is a pretty effective player. Anyway, we've got a little bit past time, but that was worth it to discuss all of this. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and want to remind you, we'll be back next week after the Packers play Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys at Lambeau Field. We'll have our film review. Look for our film review that goes with this podcast today too. It's the podcast is embedded in the film review print version. So give that a look. And thanks again, everybody, for joining us. You've been listening to the After Further Review podcast with Eric Bronchek and Pete Dorn.